those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
How you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, my name is Carlos Lopez.
Carlos Lopez?
Yeah.
How do you do, Carlos? You're on Free Radio.
Good. Yeah, you know, it's getting pretty rough in this place over here right now.
How long have you been in there?
I got radio almost 2 months.
And what are you there for?
Well, you got me for working in the street for nothing.
Really?
Yeah, and...
What are they charging you with?
You charged me for burglary.
Burglary, I got you. So they say you burgled?
Yeah, and I know did it, you know, and that's the question, you know, it's in blaming me for something I know did.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, I went for a trial the May 27th, too. Yeah.
And so you have some medical concerns? About
yes, I am.
Tell me about this.
Well, you see, I got some liver problem and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And I'm still doing a medication.
Mm-hmm.
Medication and...
You need medication. Are you getting...
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to be in a sulfur, and still, you know, I get my doctors and they're not going to give it to me.
So are you saying that you should be having medication you're not getting?
Oh, yeah. And it's not going to give it to me.
And have you complained to the authorities about this?
Oh, yeah, I complain all the time.
And what do they say?
Well, they say, you know, I have to be outside. There's nothing I can do about it.
Have you talked
the medication to... I need, they say, you know, have it over here.
Have you talked to Dr. Stein?
Well, I'm talking to doctors over here, and I give me some medicine only to you know, because I have to take these pills to get my liquids out. Because my liver is not working right.
So what exactly do you need that you're not getting?
Well, you see, I'm waiting for an elite for a trust fund.
You're waiting for a trust fund?
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of the medication, what do you need from?
I need some what do you call it? Well, I know that in my mind right now, the medication, look, I got to do, get me the list, I got everything in my house.
But have you presented that list to the doctor?
Yeah.
And what did the doctor tell you?
He don't have it.
Well, does he know how to walk to a drugstore?
Well, that's the problem. You don't want to take that kind of chance. It costs too much money.
I see. So are you saying that he'd get it for you if you had the money, but since you're poor, you get to you get to suffer?
Yeah, I think it looks like I'm going to die in this county, I guess, by the time it's going to be, you know, to do it.
Wow. So.
And I got only maybe about 2 years, and that's it.
Say that one more time.
I got home is probably 2 years, and probably it's...
So you're saying your life expectancy is 2 years?
Yeah.
This is because of your liver problem?
Yeah.
Wow.
What happened with my sandwich?
He has to run to grab his lunch now.
All right, that's good. We don't want you to miss your lunch. How about you, Steve? Are you
What's
all
that?
You are all set, or do you want to go eat yourself?
Yeah, I just got mine.
So you have your tasty bologna sandwich there?
No, I can't eat bologna. It's a peanut butter sandwich. I think other people got something like that, ham sandwich or something.
Peanut butter sounds like you're back in grade school.
Yeah.
Although I like peanut butter myself.
Yeah, peanut butter's good. And it's a lot better than a lot of these lunch meats are stuff that I'm very allergic to. I mean, they're not good food in general. And really, people don't get enough. You get like a bologna sandwich and an apple and a small cup of juice is what you get for lunch. And people are hungry a lot in here.
Well, you know, as I left the jail this morning after visiting you, the woman in front of me was complaining to the prison authorities, and I talked to her outside. She has, on two occasions, had publishers send books in to inmates, and on both occasions, those books have been returned. And indeed, the only way apparently to get books into jail, to get past the library, which of course is what a bunch of old romance and science fiction paperbacks, right?
Yeah.
Is you have to have the publisher send the book to the prisoner in the jail. But apparently, that doesn't work because there's a censorship or an inefficiency or corruption or something happening here, which is preventing at least this woman from getting her books into prisoners. And I know some of us were concerned about you and others getting books in jail. When Jim Costner was in jail, as he was in jail for a week and a half, he got to the jail library, as you might call it, and then the jail, quote, law library, which was filled with outdated books that apparently weren't not the the best help. How is the law library in the Santa Cruz County Jail?
I actually haven't been using it much, but it is part of why is I've been told that the books there are out of date. In terms of, I've gotten a number of books through the publishers, and
they haven't
according to the rules, you're supposed to be able to get them, but of course they don't follow the rules here a lot of times too. I mean, there's been a whole number of things that have happened to my mail.
Tell me about that.
Well, one was a letter that was sent to me. It was given to me 3 weeks late, had been stamped on it, returned to sender, and then was eventually given to me after 3 weeks. There was, and I don't know how much mail is sitting in limbo. I've had one letter which included important legal stuff for my claim against the county, or against the city on the brutality against me and so forth by the police, and a page from that was missing. They open everything and read it, and they had taken one page out, so that the plan was for me to send that to my lawyer, and I had delayed it for about 3 weeks until I could get that page.
I know. I also sent you some material last week, and you apparently only one of the three pages, double-sided pages, arrived, which was a document regarding the police department's latest cover story on the beating you suffered at the hands of Officer Garner back in November of 1998 when you were trying to sell a street newspaper outside New Leaf. You may remember that incident where...
Oh, I couldn't forget. Yeah, I was selling newspapers, and I got tackled down and brought to jail for 4 days, where I was also beat up by the guards for selling newspapers, which is protected constitutionally and by city law, which states that that the ordinance for selling newspaper or for selling things does not include newspapers, that you do not need a business license to sell newspapers, and the reason for this is it's protected free speech constitutional activity. First Amendment activity, but they threw me in jail for it for 4 days anyway.
Yeah, I know that recently I've been kind of making a series of complaints around the issue, not just against Garner, the man who jammed your head into the sidewalk, or against his sergeant who misinformed him that he was right in arresting you, but against the chief of the entire police department, Steve Belcher, who wrote me a letter March 2nd which said that you weren't being arrested for selling newspapers, that you were being arrested for obstructing the sidewalk, among other things.
Well, that's interesting because it doesn't say that in the police report anywhere.
Well, Chief Belcher has a sort of an omniscient knowledge. He picks out the right parts of the police report. He doesn't go for the whole police report, just certain parts of it.
He just kind of makes up something that's not in there.
Well, we don't want to say that. Well, you see, that, of course, is going to be the question, because as I understand, he's recently sent a document to the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board, also known as the Citizens Police Review Board, which claims that you wouldn't have been arrested except you said, my name is fuck you, my name is fuck you, to the police officer Garner, and that you made a scene and pointed a finger in his face, which made him nervous for his safety, so he had to throw you to the ground and subdue you.
Well, it's interesting. It's not true. I did get confrontational with him. At first, it was around the fact that he was telling me I was being arrested for selling the newspapers, and for the fact that I was refusing to sign a ticket for that. I was refusing to sign that ticket as an act of the fact that I was being harassed. And, if anything more they were going to do to me was going to be on them.
You weren't going to cooperate in your own harassment.
What's that?
You weren't going to cooperate in your own
exactly,
harassment.
Exactly, because you sign this, then it's a petty charge. You go before a magistrate, one of these referees like
Mulligan,
who has told someone before, who got his charges thrown out on distributing newspapers, told him, though, before he left the courtroom, that if he ever appeared before him again for distributing newspapers, he would throw the book at him.
Interesting.
And, this harassment had been going on against people distributing Street Spirit newspaper, and I was drawing the line there. Now, in terms of me being confrontational, this cop was very confrontational. I mean, he was very belligerent to me from the very beginning. And at a certain point, yes, I raised my voice and I told everybody around that I was being arrested for selling newspapers. But I never threatened him in any way. I never broke the law. It was him that broke the law. First of all, for harassing me for doing a constitutionally legal activity, distributing literature, and then for arresting me for that activity, and then for brutalizing me for that activity, tackling me down, and then when I put my head up with the handcuffs on, put my head up and announced that I was being arrested for selling newspapers, he shoved my face into the pavement with his knee, and I had a 2.5-inch gash across my forehead from that. So the one who really broke the law was him.
Currently, you're not that this is to say it's going to help, but you are currently engaged in a civil lawsuit in federal court with attorney Kate Wells?
Yeah, I am.
And actually, this is, I think, how this issue came up with Chief Belcher. Chief Belcher was responding to the Citizens Police Review Board, which found that even though it said that Chief Belcher was neither lying nor negligent when he claimed that you were arrested not for selling newspapers but for obstructing the sidewalk, which you weren't arrested for. I checked the police records.
Yes.
You weren't arrested for selling a newspaper either. You were arrested for resisting arrest, and I think it was assault on an officer. Both
yeah, that's an interesting charge, you know. But, you know, you read the police report, it says straight up, right at the beginning, the reason for me being arrested was for distributing the newspaper. Now, the charge that they were booking me into jail on were these other false charges.
Right, all of which disappeared 4 days later.
Exactly.
Even without any court appearances.
Right.
And it should be noted that the charge of selling a street newspaper, though it does not appear on the booking docket, appears repeatedly in the police reports. And it is clear that is the reason Garner stopped you and what he felt his primary basis was for dealing with. And this construction of an obstructing the sidewalk charge by Chief Belcher, probably being done to both cover his butt in terms of the political climate, and also because his department is legally liable, the city is liable.
Right.
It's interesting, and it's fooling the Citizens Police Review Board. They have bought this story.
Yeah. Or maybe conveniently bought it. I don't know. Mm. But you know, I'm sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. But the way the police approached the whole situation, I mean, they had been harassing me before, and it even says that in the police report too, you know, for distributing newspapers.
Yeah, Garner had previously been manhandling a drunk near the Georgiana's Cafe, and you'd criticized him. Is that?
Yeah, I was doing a cop watch on that, and this guy was, you know, his hand was being twisted. And he was screaming in pain, and I told him to stop torturing the guy, and you know, because, I mean, whether or not this guy had done anything wrong, and apparently he was just being brought in on a drunk in public,
This was some days before.
What's that?
This was some days before.
It was about a week or 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were bigger things other than this, but this was something that went on with Garner and me.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was state that, you know, he shouldn't have been treating that person that way.
Mm-hmm.
And brought some other people passing by their attention to it. It's interesting to note also that the day I was tackled down and arrested for something that wasn't illegal was also the day my picture was in the newspaper.
Next to council members Crone and Sugar.
Yeah, right. And speaking out on the police murder of Happy John Dine.
And the day of protest against police murders across the nation.
Right.
By police murders, by the way, we mean murders by police, not murders of police.
Right. And, you know, speaking out on the fact that, no, John Dine didn't have a toy gun pointed out, or pulled out and pointed at the police. This is what all the independent eyewitnesses saw, but not what Chief Belcher and the DA claimed. They claimed that he was pointing this toy gun in a combat stance before he was shot, which was an outright lie.
Right.
And and something that even the police didn't even say, that were right on the scene. But this was for public consumption.
Yeah, that was, of course, done within 24 hours, again, by our dear police chief, Steve Belcher, and our former now judge, Art Danner, former DA, now judge. Well, we've been talking with Steve Argue from behind the prison bars. Steve, is there anything you want to conclude with? Any appeals out there to folks, that things you want people to do?
Well,
let me say this. You yourself are having trouble writing. Your left hand, which you write with, has been injured by this assault on Zamora. You haven't been able to receive adequate medical treatment, and so you haven't been able to write back. And I would encourage folks who want to write to you to do so, and just to do so to kind of keep the letters coming in, even if you can't write back immediately. Do you have an address you want to give them?
Sure. It's actually, I have gotten a lot of medical treatment. I don't know how good it is, but the address here is 259 Water Street, and Santa Cruz, California, 95060.
And your name is Steve Argue, A-R-G-U-E?
Yeah. And also it's good to include my S number.
Okay.
S190523.
190523.
Yeah.
190523. And for those who have missed some of this or all of this, you can give a call to the producer of the show at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and we will hook you up with the right numbers and addresses. Anything else, Steve?
Keep it up. Keep up the keep being a thorn in their side, doing the stuff you're doing, Duff and Lee with, I was just reading the stuff with the, this housing yesterday and what they're doing and jacking up the rents and, supposedly fixing it up so much. There's so much going on with rent in this area. It's ridiculous that people can get away with stealing so much money, so much income from people just for a place to live. And really, I look at rent as just being theft, especially at a lot of the levels it's at with these corporations, the need for affordable housing, the need for rent control. And I'd even say, a lot of these greedy landlords should just be, their property should just be taken, and the people living there shouldn't have to pay rent. But that would take things even further than, the system would allow at this point. But when you have someone like Christopher Corona on, there's so much that could be done even now in terms of putting forward ideas of rent control and everything else in terms of really taking on a system that is causing all this homelessness, all this misery for poor people, and making it very hard for people to live in Santa Cruz and even all around the country. It's gotten hard in a lot of ways with wages not really going up with inflation, except for the very top people in society. And for a lot of working class people, it's very hard to survive. And we really need to take on the system head on. And, you got people like Christopher Crone in government who like to pretend he's on our side, but he's not putting forward the real solutions. We've got to really put forward strong, combative solutions against the system that's driving us all down into the ground.
I hear you. Steve Argue, thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll get back to us again.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was our special jailhouse interview from Jailbird Steve Argue. Looks like an incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Good morning, Robert. Is this Julie?
Hey, Julie Lee.
Yeah?
Or Julie Lee Costanza Gomez, is that
That's
right?
That's me.
And Julie, you were on about a week and a half ago, or actually you were on maybe sooner than that. You're the person who is trying to make sure that the people being so-called relocated, or is it evicted, from the Lee apartment buildings, which is I guess one-third of the proposed Dolphin Lee Rex Court raise it to the ground and then build it up again proposal at City Council, that these folks get their just desserts.
That's who I am.
So I know the last time I spoke to you was at City Council. For the first time, first time at least in a couple of years, a number of Hispanic, Spanish-speaking people kind of elbowed their way finally forward to the mic in a room that was mobbed with people at the city council meeting of last Tuesday in the evening, and you spoke to council. You want to describe for us what that was all about?
Yeah, Robert, what I went in to talk to them about is a list of guarantees that we're requesting so that our people are relocated with benefits and pre-acceptance and placement into the new development. I submitted
Julie,
those.
Turn down your radio a little bit.
Okay, hold on.
I have a radio problem, a technical problem, but we're going to resolve it very quickly. Stay with us. Go ahead.
I'm back.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what I did was I went before, actually I went down to the apartments and I talked to people and I read them the requests that we put together. And on their behalf, and not only on their behalf, but of course the behalf of my parents. And
this was a request that they get full relocation money and that they get full assurance that was really legally enforceable. They could come back to the new project even if they weren't, you know, if they had an unlawful detainer on their record, even if they were illegal immigrants, even if they did have a felony, even if they had a relative with a hair lip, whatever, you know. I mean, they would get back in, and that would be no ifs, ands, or buts. And, of course,
right.
This is something Mercy Housing has refused to guarantee.
Right.
And as far as I know, the city council has also refused to guarantee it.
Yeah, I've had no response from them. You want me to tell you real quick, there's three things I asked for.
Please.
Okay, that each and every resident be guaranteed in writing relocation benefits and acceptance and placement in the new development in advance. This guarantee must be passed as a resolution of the redevelopment agency and accepted in writing by Mercy Charities Housing. Number two, if the housing development is not completed within 18 months, then the displaced residents would receive a monthly liquidated damage equal to the difference between the rent that the resident was paying prior to relocation and the existing rent. Number three, should the redevelopment agency abandon this project, then Vernon Lee, my dad, shall be entitled to purchase the property back at the price it was acquired by the redevelopment agency.
Mm-hmm.
If the buildings on the property are demolished or the property is otherwise diminished in value, then the purchase price would be adjusted accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
The city would guarantee that Vernon Lee would be entitled to rebuild an apartment building of comparable size and issue permits accordingly. No third party would be entitled to purchase the property unless Vernon Lee or his heirs determined not to purchase the property.
Mm-hmm.
We've had no response.
And you've given them, this is about the fifth day since you offered them this, and I think they were told this was coming before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they've known that you and the tenants have been looking for real legal guarantees, not some sugary promises from a relocation expert or some
right.
authoritarian assurances from the mayor signing a notarized statement, which doesn't really have any legal force.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that the mayor has been circulating a statement around the Lee and the Dolphin. He gave your attorney a statement, and it's been posted around the Dolphin apartments, which is a different set of apartments right next to yours, right?
That's correct.
So, well, you know, we had on the air just earlier, I don't know if you heard, Christopher Crone, council member, who was, you know, giving us the usual standard line that, oh, we will never vote for anything like this unless there are real assurances that the people will be relocated and that they will be able to come back into the new housing. And, of course, I didn't have time to talk to him because he was rushing off to this Doug Rand Memorial, which I invite you to look into. It's happening at 3 o'clock today at the Vets Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on all afternoon. Doug Rand is the fellow who was one of the men who almost single-handedly stopped the beach south of Laurel plan 2 years ago.
Okay.
And had he known what was going on, I believe he would have spoken out very loudly against it, except for the last year of his life. He was very much insulated from all this information. Now, I could be corrected by people who knew him, but I understand from Scott Graham, who is a friend of his, that his partner kept from him information, even such information as the impeachment of Clinton. So he didn't even know what was happening on the political scene because they were so afraid that it would affect his health.
Mm-hmm.
Had he known that people like Fitzmaurice and Sugar and Crone and Byers were selling out his memory, and that's really the only way to say it, selling out his memory, I think he would have spoken up on it loudly, and I intend, of course, to speak up about it when I'm down there today, even though I suppose some will say This is a memorial. We're all supposed to, you know, join hands and kiss and make up while the rest of the people get evicted into the rain. I don't think so, you know. So, yeah, what Chris Krohn was on earlier, Julie, and what he said was, we won't do any of this stuff, and if any of this stuff isn't going to work out, we'll vote against it. But, of course, he hasn't voted against it. And even if at some time later in the future he does vote against it, that's not going to mean that his one or two votes are going to stop it. What will stop it is if he speaks up strongly and eloquently and sensibly in favor of a different project, a better project, and does so immediately. And, of course, he isn't willing to do that. That's the problem.
Well, what I can't help but wonder right now is what type of impact the Cypress Point project is going to have on even more devastating news for our tenants who won't have a place to go, because it looks like they're going to take up a couple hundred spots
Cypress Point. For those who saw the paper yesterday, Cypress Point is a apartment complex on the west side that is being completely emptied of its tenants, with the rents being raised almost across the board, and then tenants being rescreened when they come back in 10 days for the higher rents, which means numerous people are going to lose their homes. And this isn't going to be the only such development where this happens. I imagine it's going to start happening in other places, making it even more unlikely that your bottom of the totem pole, Spanish-speaking, dirt-poor tenants are going to be able to find affordable housing for the next year or two. I agree with you.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting. When I saw this, I couldn't help but feel, compassion for these people. I also couldn't help but feel that it may prolong our project.
Well, I know you're planning an event on April 1st called We're No Fools, which is going to try to turn the tables on those foolhardy city council people who want to sweep you guys all under the rug with a pretty affordable housing ha-ha project.
Right.
It's kind of like urban renewal stuff. It's a form of gentrification. They're not acknowledging it, but that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
And you might want to get in touch with some of those people in that Cypress Point apartment project to talk about getting together for citywide rent control. And I know that might put you on a different side of things, because you are, in fact, the manager and your father owns the property. But I would say it would be a real wake-up call for a landlord to call for rent control.
Right. And if I don't feel threatened in any way to be involved in something like that, because our rents are the lowest in town, just about the lowest in town, especially from what I just read in the newspaper about what the rents are at Cypress and what they're going to be. Our highest rent is $750 for a one-bedroom, with utilities included.
Yeah. So can you tell us more about this event? People were asking last night at the Santa Cruz, the Land Trust, Community Land Trust of Santa Cruz, where Becky Johnson spoke about the Dolphin Apartments, the Lee Apartments, and the Rex Court Apartments, the attempt to destroy all these buildings and remove all the people and then let a part of them come back to this new project.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying that she tried to announce the event, this April 1st event. She didn't know when to announce it for. Do you have a time yet for that?
I don't have a time yet. And I'm just in the preliminary stages of putting this together. I got the okay, and I've got some funds together to get it started. I'll be announcing this week exactly what time,
mm-hmm.
and I'm definitely going to invite some of the people from Cypress Point, anyone, to mm-hmm. come over and be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
because they're no fools either.
No, they're just, they're victims, I would say.
Right. And basically what we're doing is having a fiesta, and we'd like to open our apartments up to the public who'd want to come meet the future homeless firsthand.
Indeed.
Yeah, before they're spread out.
Right.
Catch us before we get them all together.
Before we get washed away.
Right. And the people down there are really excited about making food, and I think they're going to do a play or a skit that they've put together. It's their own idea. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that to be a surprise. And you know what I need is help, because I'm new at all of this. I need help. I mean, I went from apartment owner to I feel like I'm a
labor organizer.
Exactly. And I did that overnight. Mm-hmm. And so what I want is help, because I want to know which big dogs we should have invited to this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can think of any people or if you'd be willing to, if people were to want to call you, Robert, and give you some ideas, because we want the big boys in, Sam Farr and the gang, you know, to come visit.
The Rascals, yes.
Yeah, because we need their support.
Well, you know, I think I would invite people to give a call and want to help with this We're No Fools April 1st Day open house at the Lee Apartment Buildings, to give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. There's a long message on the machine. All you got to do, though, is push the pound key, and you can get past it. So, yeah, or I suppose they could call you directly if you'd prefer that, too, Julie. You have that option, whichever
okay.
you...
Well, if they'd like to call you and get my number, that would work.
Let's do it that way. If you want to get a hold of Julie, give a call to me at 423-HUFF, and I will screen these calls to make sure that the city council members don't sneak in here disguised as ordinary human beings that need to pay rent. I mean, we don't want that to happen. Is there more you want to say about this, Julie?
I just wanted to check in and... I missed the first half of the show. I had a meeting to go to, and I'm home now. And I was listening to the guys in jail talk to you, and I can firsthand tell you that about the medical care there. There is medical care, but I can't. It's been my experience with loved ones that they were not able to be medicated properly because it's just not set up for it. And someone who, the one guy who spoke. It sounded to me, although he never said it, that he might have Hep C, which is really a
devastating.
Yeah, it's devastating, and it's like a lot of people are finding out they've had it for a long time, and they're already advanced when they get there, and they need proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel sorry for these people, and my heart goes out to them, and it'll be in my prayers, and I know Dr. Stein is a wonderful doctor, and I hope he's listening and will give them some extra care.
Well, that's very sweet of you. You naive person, you. I don't know Dr. Stein. I know that he treated Mr. Argue badly the first time he talked to him, punished him for asking about the side effects on the medication that he needed for his wrist, and then told him he wouldn't give him anything and walked away.
Mm.
But maybe Dr. Stein treats other people better, and if so, that's good, and perhaps he needs some help in there. Certainly, again, like with the Dolphin Lee, when the Dolphin Apartments and the Lee Apartments and this whole bullshit, I've got to say it, this nonsense around claiming you're creating affordable housing when you're actually destroying affordable housing and destroying people's homes. It's stopped by protest, and that's how you stop bad medical treatment. You raise your voices on that issue, just like you're doing, Julie. And I would encourage people who want to help, and it sounds like you're asking for help.
I am asking for help.
On this April 1st thing, to call at 423-HUFF.
This is a community event, and it's done on private property, and I'll have more details, because like I said, this is all new for me, but I'm excited about it. And the people down there really, really, really want to be involved. And so many of them showed up, and not everyone spoke. But you were there, Robert. The look in their eyes, they knew they had done something that was helpful, and they were standing up for their rights. And that's not always the case from where they're from, in Mexico. You
mm-hmm.
know, to be able to come here and at least do what they're doing, and they're not going to give up. They have become very Americanized already.
Excellent.
I love it.
Well, listen, you should also let us know when you're throwing another meeting of the tenants, because we can try to be helpful there, too. And I think members of the community want to help, too. A lot of people just don't know this is happening, or they feel powerless. But the more they learn, of course, anyone who's listening, you can call immediately to City Council right now. Their line is open. They have a 24-hour line at 420-5020 and tell them to stop the Dolphin Lee hoax. And look for some real affordable housing that will not displace people who currently have the cheapest housing in Santa Cruz at the moment. That's the way, at least I would, that's sort of a summation.
Or to sign the guarantees that we ask for.
Or,
that would be a big help.
Or if they insist on this project, and I still think it should be built on vacant land, but if they insist on demolishing housing, they have to sign these guarantees, which will assure immediate legal placement of people. And
it'll also by them doing that, will also assure that that property remains zoned residential and won't turn into commercial.
Could the...
Which is a huge fear.
The gnarled hand of Canfield be behind all this?
That's the guy.
Who knows? Julie, I want to thank you for calling. Anything you want to add?
That's it.
Hey.
Be good.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we're still here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That was
Julie Lee Costanza Gomez. She's going to be serving the tortillas, the tacos, and the burritos on April 1st. Give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to help out, either in the kitchen or outside the kitchen.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Yeah, let me turn my radio down here. I'm up in a valley, and it's kind of really hard to pick you up, so stuff has been kind of fading in and out, but...
Well, at least you're calling back. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I've been trying for a while, but your line's been busy. You bring up so many interesting things. I'll just... the ecology of the Metro Trans, I watched that on TV, and I walked out, went out there and walked it, and it's nothing but a drainage ditch. I think it's a tempest in a teapot, but that's kind of moot. The thing about the jails is, like, you got people awaiting trial that are locked in with convicted people, which I don't know if that's legal or not, but it's kind of a situation where a guy is guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the pleasure or the displeasure of being a guest at the county jail, and the law library is just a shambles.
Major joke?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a minor joke.
Well, it's a bad joke if it's a joke at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even then, to get to the law library, you know, it's like I've asked several times before I finally got to go, and then on... then I tried to go again, and I just was shined on. You know, they didn't do anything. So, and the food is inadequate. It's a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. So you got a guy in there who's 5 foot and 110 pounds, and you got a guy in there who's 6'2 and 210 pounds, and they get the same portions, which, you know, I weigh 200 pounds, and when I was in there, I was always hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the mattress that I was issued, and the blankets are you know, they're thin, they're inadequate. The mattress was like practically non-existent. I mean, I could just, you know, feel the metal plate under my bed, or, you know, under the mattress was just, you know, that's basically what I was sleeping on.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuffing is all, you know, I mean, it's gone. And So Steve was talking about the attitude of the police and excessive force, and I found that to be true in my dealings with the Santa Cruz Police Department. I just briefly got a ticket, which I thought was entirely bogus, but I would have signed it had not the officer been just totally belligerent, man. I mean, it was like, you know, I pulled over, I started to get out of the car, what's the problem, officer? And, you know, was like, get back in the car. You know, I mean, he just started
mm-hmm.
yelling at me, treating me like I was a dog, you know. And and then he just, his whole manner was just totally offensive.
You remember the name of the officer?
Not off the top of my head. I've got it in my files.
Mm-hmm.
But, I told him, hey, look, you know, I have a legal right to be taken before a magistrate, and I'm going to assert that right. I'm not going to sign your ticket. And he didn't know what to do. So he ended up calling his duty sergeant. And the sergeant came out, and finally they arrested me. And it was just like the attitude of the sergeant. He was just hoping I made one wrong move so he could just take me down. It was kind of like that's the vibes I picked up from the guy.
Remember the name of the sergeant?
I know I've got that also in my file.
Well, you should give a call to 423-HUFF later if you can. I'd like to get the details on
it. Sure. Well, eventually a ticket was, you know, thrown out of court. But
what was the ticket for?
Excessive speed. And you were talking about Judge, what's his name, or the commissioner, what's his name?
Oh, Mulligan.
Yeah. I walked into court, and it was like excessive speed, $75, slam.
Right. He would call him Meat Grinder Mulligan.
No question of guilt or innocence. And I said, well, excuse me, Your Honor, I'm going to plead not guilty on this. And he kind of went, huh? You know, like.
What do you think this is, a court?
Yeah. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on about, you know, my encounters with the police department, which is, you know, my heart goes out to Steve Argue, and, you know, all I can do is wish him good luck.
Sure, write him a letter, too. He'd be happy to hear from you.
I might do that.
You can get his address by calling 423-HUFF.
I'd rather remain anonymous. I don't need any more problems with the establishment.
I hear you.
But, the thing about the Mercy's charity...
the Dolphin Lee Project.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me to be really touching the line between the separation of church and state here. We got, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm kind of in favor of charter schools, but I don't think that religious charter schools should be getting taxpayers' money. You know, mm-hmm. It's like we need to draw that line, it's kind of like the same thing is going on here with this housing. You know?
Well, that issue was raised by Scott Graham in this earlier interview, or perhaps just after it, pointing out that the Catholic West Charities, or Catholic Charities West, which is buying up the hospitals and eliminating the family planning services.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
They use the collateral from the Mercy Housing, which is also part of the Catholic Church property, to do this. That they are, I'm not speaking authoritatively. This is the claim, and if anybody knows otherwise, please let me know. But if they are doing this, then what you're doing by contributing to this affordable housing project, which I'm assuming is going to be affordable for some people, but I'm concerned it's not affordable for the people they're displacing. Mm-hmm. But let's assume it's a good thing and that it's affordable for some people. Still, they're going to use this property is not going to be owned by the people who live there. It's not going to be owned by the city. It's going to be owned by the Catholic Church, which will then be using it to engage in more social, to forward Catholicism. Which, you know, I know some great Catholics, and I think it's, you know, I'm an atheist myself. But the point is, I think that each of us shouldn't be mixing our religion, as you put it, into the public pot. And I mean that's an issue that hasn't really been raised very, very strongly. People are afraid of being called anti-Catholic. Mm-hmm. If you point out that some of the council members who are pushing this are Catholics,
yeah.
And I don't know if that's relevant or not. They may be completely irrelevant, and maybe they're doing it because they feel it's a good project, you know, and they have the right to their opinion. They're wrong.
I don't really care whether they're Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever their shtick is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of a problem that's endemic in the whole housing, Section 8 housing thing anyway. You know, you get some developer comes in, he builds a bunch of houses, he gets, you know, subsidized rent. I mean, he's getting his market value, whether the people are paying it or whether the government's giving him, you know, the money to compensate for his having to rent it out at lower than market value at the time when it was built. And so then after 20 years, he's got this property that's, you know, appreciated, obviously, over time. Land, you know, the land is one of the stablest forms of investment that a person can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so then this guy's sitting there with basically housing that the government, the people have paid for, and he owns it, and then he's no longer, whoever, he, she, or corporation, no longer is under any obligation to continue the Section 8 thing, and the people who have been working and paying in money into it have no vested interest. I mean, they have no vesting at all in the property. I mean, the whole thing needs to be rethought, it seems to me. Steve was saying something about, you know, people, you know, he was advocating expropriation of property, which I have a few problems with that concept, but it seems to me like what we kind of need to do is maybe people can only own one lot in town, and, you know, the corporations can't own anything. Corporations aren't people, they're legal fictions,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's get the corporations out of agribusiness and housing, and, you know, all the way down the line, which is a separate issue. But if people were only allowed to, you know, they were kind of owner renters, you know, they own one house and they rent out some rooms, you know, I guess I could live with that. You know, I don't think rent's going to go away, but the whole concept of rent is a past participle of the word render, which comes from the Norman times in England under William the Conqueror, where the local fiefdoms were required to render service to the king, which meant like they had to go off to the Crusades or fight mm-hmm. France or, you know, whoever, mm-hmm. you know, Scotland or Ireland, wherever, you know, the king decided to make war. The feudal lords were required to supply so many men and themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And then that system evolved into where they could make a cash payment, which was called quit rent, mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, themselves going and performing, rendering their service. And that whole thing kind of So in a sense, rent is a kind of a tax. It's become basically a tax of the capitalist class or the landowning class.
And the rest of us.
Yeah, and so we're getting, the renter is getting a double whammy here, you know. They're paying taxes, you know, I work, I pay taxes, and then...
And they pay rent.
Then you got to turn around and pay rent, which is basically paying the land tax for the landlord, and...
Interesting way of looking at it, caller. Let me ask you to consider calling back from 6 to 8 on Thursday when this show returns. We're in our last 10 minutes. I'm going to try to leave room for a little few more calls. But
okay.
I really want to thank you for calling in.
Sure.
And do call back either at this time from 11 to 1:30 on Sunday next week or in the evening from 6 to 8, and we'll pick up on this discussion.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, really good to hear some new folks calling in and some folks with some I want to announce that the homeless table will be up today at 2 o'clock. That's the spring mobilization and the sleeping band table in front of the Del Mar Theater. Should be on from 2 to 6. I'm going to be there at times. Other times I'll be over at the Doug Rand Memorial, which will be in front of the, it should be at the Veterans Hall. And you heard Councilmember Crone announcing that memorial. That's, as I understand, open to the public. And here's another call.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Robert Norris, how you doing?
Ah, sounds like you're battling Bob.
How well, Bob. Bob LaMonica here. How are you?
All right, Bob.
Rent control is hitting a new level of interest, which is good. And I think...
Christopher Crone has finally agreed to put it on the agenda?
Well, I think that when a critical mass is achieved, which I think is going to happen shortly, because the pressure on renters is not going to go away. It's going to continue. It's going to continue indefinitely. And without rent control, which is simply regulation of an unregulated market, and it simply stabilizes the degree to which your rent can be increased while you're a tenant in the regulated unit. It's very simple. It's got a proven track record, and it's time that this community came to the point where it realized that something like rent control has to happen.
Hear, hear.
And that, you know, land trusts, it's all fine, but when you really boil it down, you're talking about serving 100 people.
With a land trust, whereas
okay,
you need to serve 50,000.
You will serve about 27,000 with rent control. Santa Cruz has 53% renters.
Mm-hmm.
If you figure 51,500 people, that's about 27,000
gotcha,
odd people that are going to be served by rent control.
Now, Bob,
so,
are you starting a new initiative around this? Or?
Well, after my timeline is that after the Hemp Expo, which is May 13th and 14th, I will get reactive on rent control. There has been significant interest when the Sentinel article came out yesterday. There were several calls, and we'll see what can develop outside of myself in terms of networking.
Good
and
enough.
Lobbying.
We only have a few minutes left.
I want to say one other thing here. I want to give a solid plug for Mike Rotkin, who had the courage and the honor and the ability to come public about rent control right from the start. And whatever people think about Mr. Rotkin on other issues, on the issue of rent control, Mike Rotkin was right there. And there will come a point in time where the Santa Cruz City Council will look downright silly by not putting this on the ballot, and it's going to happen, in my opinion, before the summer's out.
I hope so. I know Rotkin's had the ability to put this on the council agenda for 20 years on any of his four terms and has chosen not to do so. So while he may have made some public statements, I'd like to see some public action from Mr. Rotkin. Thank you very much.
Let's give credit where credit's due, and I think that the time has come where the community will rise to the occasion and recognize that, look, if you don't own property now in Santa Cruz, unless you inherit a pile of dough, you're not going to. Unless we want this community to become like a Laguna Beach, we have to do something, and regulation is the way to go. The middle class would not exist without regulation. Rent control is a sensible policy whose time has come.
Thank you, Bob.
Robert, thank you.
All right.
And that was Bob LaMonica, who's put in many hours, hours and hours, hundreds of hours, you might say, around the issue of rent control. We're reaching the end of our time here on Free Radio. We have only a few moments left. So if you got any quick comments, give us a call at 427-3772. Otherwise, we're going to be joining you again, as I mentioned before, next Thursday from 6 to 8 when Bathrob Spear's Broadsides. I'm Bathrob Spear, and these right here are my broadsides. We will be returning, and I'll be giving you, and at the Kansas Council members, a few of my usual broadsides. Again, the idea being we speak And finally, when we speak loud enough, they respond. And it's unfortunately a we they. I wish the we were in control, but the we almost never is. It's always the they that is sluggishly reacting, or reacting in a repressive manner to the we. So we've got to have to go we a little louder so that they will, in fact, respond a little quicker. We're going to play a little bit more of the Scott Graham interview, and unless I hear from you on the phones, that will kind of lead us out and lead us into the Little Red Hen Show, which is clucking our way even as we speak, throwing some light on the subject. It looks like a beautiful day out there. I'm about to head out into it, so stay tuned. Term, when I would raise and you would raise issues about the police department, he and Sugar would ask for staff reports. That happened a couple of times at right. Council. Subsequently, I would make similar remarks, and they never ask for staff reports anymore about what the police department is doing. So my perspective on Cronus is you back down. You're not standing up to the police. The budget process is happening again soon. I'm not sure when it actually happens, but I mean, I thought that there was some. He had said something about a budget process at the police station, which I guess you corrected me. It was not about the police station. It just happened to happen in that building.
Right.
But that, you know, I have heard that in the months of January, February, and March, the preliminary action on the budget is happening, and the police department budget, and which is taking a huge slice out of the city. If you add to Parks and Rec, I think it's more than a majority of the budget. Parks and Rec and police together, if you talk law enforcement agencies, are a huge bite out of the city budget.
Well, the police department takes about a third of the city's general fund.
And then you add to Parks and Rec, and that's another 20 or 25%.
Parks and Rec, I think, is only about 15% of the city budget.
But could be.
Both of them together, you take, you know, a third plus 15, you're close to half the budget.
Close to half the budget. And the question is, in a city where crime is dropping,
social services is only 1.9% of the budget.
Oh, but they'll tell you that's the county's responsibility, I'm
right.
sure.
Well, I mean, it reflects our society at large. In the U.S. government, social programs are less than 2% of the federal budget. The military is over 60% of the federal budget, you know.
Of course, the military has its own social program, that sort of socialism in the military, but that's a whole other story.
Well, it's also, the military also provides vast funds for corporate welfare also.
And the welfare of the corporations, as we like to say, is the welfare of the people.
Right. What's good for...
And on the line with us for the final word is Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
How you doing?
Give us your thoughts.
I was just hearing you talk about the we and the they, and I think that one thing that I like to think about essentially is that we are they, and if you continue to dichotomize it we, they, then I think that a lot of people feel powerless and think there's a much bigger chasm that exists than really there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to put that out there and just say that we are they, and with enough power, as you mentioned, we realize that. So I think that we can continue to look at the crazy people making the bad decisions and call them they, but we need to feel like we are part of them.
Of course, we are, but the people in power, unfortunately, they kind of insulate and isolate themselves, so they become, they do become a they, and it's really hard. If you approach them as a we, they'll schmooze with you, but they will ignore you in terms of essential power issues. I think
right.
women have found that as they've tried to liberate themselves. Other groups who've been oppressed have found that you have to take power yourselves.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
I believe in defining the fact that we have differences, clearly.
Right.
But indicating to them that basically they may be in a position to make decisions because of some elected situations they have gotten themselves into, but just realizing that we too can influence.
Of course, of course.
And I just want to remind people of that.
Indeed. Listen, thank you very much. And now I'm going to turn the show over to the Little Red Hen.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.